You guys make me nervous. First Samuel 15. We're going to start from chapter number 1. First Samuel 15, chapter number 1, and we'll just read for a little bit. And Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys." So Samuel summoned the man. So Samuel summoned the man and the master and mustered them to Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he destroyed with a sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best sheep and cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, and everything that was good. They were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instruction." Samuel was angry and cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to Saul, but he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the instructions of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is the bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear? Verse 16, Samuel said to Saul, "Let me tell you that the Lord said to me last night. You know, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites, wage war against them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord?" Samuel says, "But I did obey the Lord." Saul says, "But I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me to. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning, and we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, I pray that today, that God, my flesh will stay behind the cross, and that, Lord, you'll be glorified today. Speak to us this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of I hear a noise. I want to redeem that, and I'm going to focus on what will happen in the midst of the noise that's going on in your life if you'd say yes to God. What will happen if you said yes to God? So I don't know. I mean, you guys look really sleepy. But I'm going to wake you up because I'm African. Hallelujah. And I just love to shout. And I shout because God is good. And I shout because God has saved me. And I shout because he has delivered me. And I shout because he has reclaimed me. And I shout because he is on the throne. He never went to sleep. And I shout because if it had not been for him who was on my side and your side, where would you be this morning? We have reason to celebrate the goodness of God. We have reason to shout about his favor in our lives. We have reason to get excited because we are here in this city at this time for such a time as this. And I hope you came ready to kill a demon this morning. I hope you came ready to destroy everything that has told you opposite of what God has said about you. Concerning your life and the destiny and purpose that God has for you. We spend so much time having dialogue concerning things. Sometimes we meet and we talk about business and how we're going to do things better. And sometimes we meet and we talk about nothing because everything we talk about, nobody remembers what we talked about, but we meet anyways and we have dialogue all the time about all these things. And then sometimes we meet and we talk about other people. And sometimes we talk about how messed up they are. And I haven't seen them around in a while. They must be really struggling. And we have many words throughout the day. But what would happen if a generation of believers? What will happen if you, my brother, you, my sister? What will happen if you will put praise back where it belongs? Back where God ordained praise to be, in your mouth. In your mouth. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be out of my mouth. On my lips, the praises of God will raise up to heaven to break the yoke. Out of my mouth, the praises of God will raise up to heaven and bring healing. Out of my mouth. A time is coming, and a time has come where God is calling you to a higher place than idle conversation and idle talk. That God is calling you higher to a place where his praises will continually be found on your lips, on your out of your mouth. Come on. Come on. You can praise him. You can shout right now. It's okay. Hallelujah. Let his praises right now be found on your lips. Praise him right now. Like your life depends on it. Give him a shout. Come on. You can do it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Right. All right. All right. All right. All right. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be out of my mouth. My soul shall make boast in the Lord. All magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name for together. That is what you're created for. That is what you're created for. That is what you're becoming out of your mouth, out of your lips. Because out of your mouth, you can release life. And out of your mouth, you can kill destinies. And out of your mouth, you can create businesses. And out of your mouth, you can live in poverty. And out of your mouth, you can change the community. And out of your mouth, you can stay status quo. And out of your mouth, you can have everything that God has purposed and designed for you. And out of your mouth, you can just sit here and have good enough. A time for good enough is over. Because God, when he created you, and when he looked at you, he never created you and released you to make a living. God created you to make a difference. And if you're not making a difference, then his praises are not continually coming out of your mouth, out of the deepest part of your belly. Let the praise of the living God arise and change the atmosphere. We are in older growth. And this city must know that we are here. So what's going on? Saul is given instructions. Instructions were really clear. Say, go on and destroy everything. There was no room for dialogue except that the command has been issued that everything must be destroyed. There was no room for conversation. What is going to happen after I destroy everything and whether or not I'm going to get a promotion because of that. There was no room for idle dialogue. God had given a command. And the command was so specific regarding and concerning what was supposed to happen. Go and destroy everything. Leave nothing untouched. So he goes out. He's had the command. He's been commissioned. And he gathers who he needs to gather. And off they go to fulfill the command. What is it in your life that is holding you back? What is it in your life that makes it so difficult for you to say yes, Lord? What is it in your life that makes you go to bed at night and wake up in the morning after 8 hours, maybe sometimes 10 hours, and you're still tired? He goes and he picks and he chooses what to destroy, and he destroys that which he sees as having no value to him in his own human understanding. And he leaves the best of the best. But God's instruction was clear. Go and kill everything that doesn't resemble the presence of God. Kill everything that will come between you and where what God has called you to. That you kill everything that has stood between you and the destiny and the purpose that God has for you. That you go and you destroy everything in your life that will cause you to live in it's just good enough. It's just good enough. It's not in the Bible. It's just good enough. It's not a biblical concept. God has called you to live. He has called you to live and to have more than enough. God has called you to live in His provision. God has called you to live in His understanding, in His anointing. That is the only way that you're going to affect your community and your environment. The word was clear. Kill everything. The outcome is clear. Kill what I like. And don't kill what I like more. And how many times that we find ourselves in places, going to bed at night and wrestling all night in our sleep because we know what we're supposed to do. And what would happen if a generation understood what you are called into, what your purpose was regarding, the kingdom of God is intensely practical. Let's talk about our house now. So what will happen? Colin, what will happen? That love, what would happen? Dean, what will happen? Jeff, what will happen, man? What will happen? What will happen if we just obeyed what God has spoken to us concerning this time in history, concerning this time in this place? In this church, concerning this time regarding the city of Alder Grove, what will happen? What will happen if you woke up one morning and you had no excuses in terms of why God cannot use you, and why you have so many limitations and you're not good enough? What will happen if a generation will wake up one morning and say, we are the generation that will live with no excuses. We are a generation who have received a command from heaven. We are a generation who have partnered with God to see His kingdom established here. We are a generation who believe that there's no mountain that He cannot move. What will happen if we believe that we are a generation that is going to change our city? What will happen if you can wake up one morning and believe that and walk in it? What would happen? When we ignore the instruction of the Lord, we find ourselves in a situation. And so Saul finds himself in a situation where he has to make excuses concerning why he did not follow the instruction. And his response is really interesting. Oh, hang with me. I'm going to preach. I haven't preached yet. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach me happy. If you want to be happy, I'm going to preach me happy. Because God is in the house today. And because we came for a miracle. And because we came to live changed. And because we're not here to play church. This is serious business. Kingdom business. Serious business. But if God be for you, so here's what's happening. He ignores the instruction. And he finds himself in a situation And he begins to make excuses. And he says, I destroyed everything, but I left the best for God. I wonder how many times in his name we walk outside of his will in his name and all the while shouting amen at the right time. When you don't heed the instruction of the Lord time and time again, and that sometimes it becomes familiar to you, and that sometimes you become complacent, and sometimes that God will harden your heart. Your heart will be hardened concerning the things of God. But the blood. Let my people go. It's a story you all heard in Sunday school. I hope. When Pharaoh hardened his heart, when Pharaoh refused to listen to the voice of the Lord concerning the deliverance of his children, but God hardened his heart. Is it possible? Is it possible that sometimes we hear revelation and sometimes we just ignore it? Is it possible? Is it possible that sometimes we don't want to hear God because it's going to call you higher and God's going to put an expectation on your life concerning what he's called you to? And so what happens is we get afraid and we kill everything else that makes life easy for me and everything else that makes me still be able to hold this microphone and shout, and everything else that helps me stand behind my guitar, and everything else that helps me be able to do what I do and do so well, and I can hide behind that because I'm safe here and I don't have to kill what God has called me to kill. Let me tell you this morning, where God is taking us, everything in your life that will bring destruction to the call and destiny and purpose of God in your life has to die today. And don't look so sad. I haven't preached yet. I'm going to preach you happy, I promise. Sometimes the hardest thing, and say this statement, I'm going to speak on 2 points and I'll be done really quickly. Sometimes the hardest thing in life, one of the hardest thing for a man or woman, one of the hardest words that would ever come out of your mouth are yes, Lord. Because when you say yes, Lord, because you said yes, Lord, and because you said yes, Lord, everything else in your life changes because everything becomes about him. It becomes about him and only him. Because at that moment, there is nothing that you are holding on to. You're holding on to nothing because you're holding on to him. And one of the ways that you can silence the noise, what is the noise that I hear behind the worship and behind the guitar and behind the shout and behind the smile? What is the noise? What are the things that are holding you captive? Sometimes the only way to silence those is to say a resounding yes from your heart and say, yes, Lord, I don't understand it and I don't get it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm saying yes, Lord, I'm holding on to nothing because I hold on to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where you lead me, I will go. Yes, Lord. When you call me, I will answer. Yes, Lord. Whatever it takes, yes, Lord. Whatever you want, yes, God. What moment you choose, yes, Lord. Because I want to say yes, Lord. So I can say yes, Lord. So I can say yes, Lord. And then I'm holding on to nothing because I'm holding on to you. Let me get a testimony. 2 minutes. And then I'm going to preach. That was my introduction.
Willis and I, we were talking about this message on Friday night, and I dream, but I don't often remember my dreams. And I don't often remember God dreams. So when I do have a God dream, I sit up and pay attention. So Friday night, we were talking about this message, and I went to bed Friday night, and I'm just thinking, what would that look like if I had a yes God in my heart all the time? What would that look like? And I went to bed, and I had this dream. And of course, I woke up and told Willis, I had a dream. Anyways, this was my dream. We were here at church, and we were all here, but it wasn't a Thursday night during worship practice. But we were all here. And everybody was assigned a job. We all had a job to do because there was a place and a task for every single one of us. And there were some people that were late and didn't come on time. And there were some people that didn't come. And there were some people that didn't want to do the job that they were given to do. And so we were in worship practice, and we're hammering out the song. We're going through it and going through all the kinks and everything that make it look all nice and pretty on Sunday morning. And there was one song that somebody else was supposed to lead, and they weren't here. So I pick up the microphone, and we're going through it, and this person comes. And she's coming up. We had steps in our church. She was coming up the steps to the church, and we all go out to meet her. We're so excited she's here. We're so glad you're here. But she goes, yeah, I'm happy to be here too, but I just want to sit. I just want to sit. And so we're like, oh, okay. Okay, well, we'll just keep going, right? And so we keep going and what we want to do. And then I had, there was this young lady. It was my Jordy. She was there in my dream. She was there. She's not a singer, but she was on the worship team with us. And anyways, she got this call while we were doing worship that her dad had passed away, right? He's fine, but in my dream, he passed away. And so she's like, I have to go. And so I put my microphone down, and I went with her out of the church building. And now this is where it kind of gets confusing, because my job was to jump in the wave. That was my job, okay? And somehow that was related to being with Jordy as she's going out, right? It was my job to be with her, but that was jumping in the wave. And so we're outside, and I'm waiting for this wave, and I'm seeing it far in the distance, and it's coming, and as it's coming, it's growing and growing and growing. So by the time it gets to me, it's like the size of an apartment building. Like, it's so big. And I'm sitting there, and there is so much joy in my heart. I am busting. Like, there's just, it's so much crazy. And I don't ever talk like this, so please don't get religious on me. But the words that came out of my mouth were, this is going to be a hell of a ride, right? And this wave comes, and I jump, and I woke up.
So let me make 2 points. Now I'm going to preach. Let me connect that dream to where we're going. For years, I've lived in the low, in the Fraser Valley in Abbotsford for many years, and then I moved out that way 2 years ago, and
I dropped through for 2 years, about a year and a half. I dropped through this city, you know, and Alder Grove, every day, twice a day, going to work and coming back home. And it was just a city for me. And one day I was driving, going to work, and I began to cry. I was listening to a song I listened to all the time, but this time I just began to cry. And I was asking the Lord, and what's that about? You know, and then I had this love for Alder Grove I've never had before. And I realized for the very first time that God placed me here for a reason. And that He placed you here for a reason. And for the very first time I realized we're not here to participate in a worship service like this. I realized that all of us, we are in the biggest game of our life. That this is it. We are in the finals and we're playing for the prize. But here's the difference, that in the biggest game of our life that you and I are involved in right now, there are no bench warmers. I can't substitute myself so you can come in and play for a little bit and then I'll come in so you can rest. No, it's so amazing. We all get to play together on the same team. And then I realized that God brought us here in Alder Grove. I've heard the story, even the provision of God and how we ended up here and His provision, even regarding this property. That is not coincidence. That is because God believed in you so much concerning this city. And He believed in me so much concerning this city. That He did everything He could. He moved who He needed to move. He brought in who He needed to bring in. And He shuffled what He needed to shuffle. And He did what He needed to do to make sure that you be here for such a time as this, in this city, because this is our city and we love our city. God has done everything He had to do. He made provision for you concerning everything that He had to make provision for, so you can be here to bring change in our city. And a time has come where we can no longer come to church and refuse to participate. I can say that because I'm African. We are all in this game together. The biggest game in our life. And because we're here, that Alder Grove will never be the same. And because we're here, that everybody that lives in our city will know us by how we walk and how we talk and how we minister and how we serve our city. Don't make excuses like Saul did. There's a river. What did you call it? There's a web. And it is coming. And it is upon us right now. At this time. I'm not here to psych you out. I'm just telling you that God is here. That God is in you, the hope of glory, that the hope that God has released in you need to start influencing our city today. I remember a day in my life I'm talking about the noise right now. That's the point I'm making, and then I'll finish up quickly. But I remember a day in my life, where we had been through some stuff as a family, and
And I had some noises that were happening inside me concerning the direction we were taking as family, and concerning some of the decisions my children, my own children were making. I took great responsibility. And there were noises every day. You have failed your children. You are not good enough. If you had done this or that, it wouldn't have turned out this way. But I remember one day watching a worship service with my wife, and I looked at her and I told her, I don't care whose children those are my kids too. And everything changed for me that day. I began to hear the voice of God. And I began to silence the noises in the background and call them for what they were. And I remember one day, seated in my own living room with my boys in prayer as a family. And then I remember one day in my basement with more than 80 kids on their knees, on their feet, on the floor, contending for the move of God. This is not a story. I didn't read this in a movie. I didn't watch a movie for this story. I didn't read in a book. I was there with my own eyes. I saw it. And that's what can happen when you care what God has called you to care. And don't spare anything that brings you pleasure or looks good in your eyes just for a moment. And I remember a season, and that season is upon us again, where we'll come to church and the young and old will be sat like this. We'll all be lined up. Church starts at 10. At 9 a.m., we are all lined up, youngest to the oldest, and we are sitting here in a church in anticipation of what God was about to release in our spirits that day. Not so we can go home and say that was a good word, because actually my kids never came home after church. They went to a restaurant, and they ate, and then they went to the community with all their peers, and they served. That's what happens when we give it all to God, when we say yes to God. And I feel like we are at a time and a place where God is releasing the biggest wave that the Fraser Valley has ever seen. I feel we're in a moment, at a time in history, where the keys to the city of Alder Grove have been handed to us. I feel we're in a season, in a time where we can go anywhere because His favor is with us. That the doors that have been locked concerning our cities, they are open today in the name of Jesus. And I know it's difficult sometimes to travail and to stay in your prayer closet and to keep contending day in and day out. And then you get discouraged and you listen to every voice, the every voice you're not supposed to listen to. You listen to it and you agree with what God, with what the voice is telling you instead of what God has said. It's hard to wait, but the Bible is clear that they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Let your strength be renewed for such a time as this. Let your strength be renewed today in the name of Jesus. Some of the noises we have affect us in such profound ways that sometimes we're sick in our bodies. And we begin to believe this is it for me. No, I shall not live. I shall not die, but live. The Bible says, I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. For when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Because he was wounded for your transgressions. And if you're sick in your body today, Jesus still heals today. Hallelujah. That was not negotiable on the cross. When he died on the cross, he released provision for your healing, for every sickness, for every demonic attack. There is healing and provision in the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood that has never lost its power. And it don't matter what you go through. He has made a way for you. Where there was no way, he created a way for you. Where there is no door, he came with a chainsaw and he made a door for you. Because he's God. The devil tells you to give up. You listen to those all the times. But God says, I'm doing a new thing in you today. I'm doing a new thing in you. Give up concerning your dreams. I am doing a new thing to you. I am giving you revelation from heaven concerning your business ideas that will touch your city. If you'll be willing to put it all on the cross for him. And some of us have had children at various points in our lives, and maybe some of your kids or your loved ones today don't know the Lord. There is a hope in a God that can only make provision for hope. There's a hope in Jesus. There's a hope in Jesus. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. There's hope in God. And all your children will be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children. And I don't care where they are or where they live today. Isaiah 60 said, we are calling your sons from afar and your daughters from the ends of the earth. We are calling them in because we believe they're supposed to be here for such a time as this. We are calling them in because we know there is nothing more important in this world than to know him and his presence. What is the noise that you've hung on to, that has discouraged you, that has put you in depression, that gives you anxiety every day? That is not God. He is a God that will bring peace that passes understanding. He is a God that gives you joy that is unspeakable. And his glory is filled in you. What is the noise that consumes you? What is it? What is it? What is it? So Saul is doing, he knows what he's supposed to do. He doesn't do it, but he knows he was supposed to do it. Ever been there? He's doing the wrong thing, knowing it's the wrong thing. He knows the right thing to do, but he chooses to do the wrong thing, knowing it's the wrong thing. But in your life this morning, that his kingdom will come to you in such proportion that this morning I pray that you leave this place changed, and everything you're supposed to kill and live here today won't live here with you today. Because where God is taking us, where God has called us to, as a family and as a church, we can't afford to have any distractions. We need to be focused. Our eyes are focused on him. The breakthrough that God is releasing cannot be measured. Expansion and explosion of the kingdom proportion that God is releasing to us, we cannot measure that. That is why it's so important that we learn as a family what it means to work together and how it looks like to serve together. In the greatest game of our life, we can't hang on to anything. We can't hold on to anything because we're holding on to Him. And that is why we march in unison together. We move together. We move together. We take dominion together. We come from a place of breakthrough to a place of dominion together. We own together. Because this is our city. And we love our city. So I'm going to challenge you this morning to make room in your life for God to move in your life in such a way that every voice that is not Him will be silenced, but for the very last time today. That you never have to deal with the same demons you deal with every day and every night. They'll be silenced today, because today you have come here, and because today you are partnering with the King, with heaven, and say that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? It means you kill everything that God told you to kill. Put your faith on this one thing, in a God who cannot disappoint you and can never fail you. Put your faith on this one thing, on a God who has a purpose and a destiny for your life. Your faith will open doors for you. Your faith in God will make room for you. Your faith will move mountains for you. Your faith will bring down Jericho in the name of Jesus, because you're holding on to nothing, because you're holding on to Him. Everything that is not God, everything, some of them are good things. And you know you're not supposed to be doing those good things, because God says a season is over, time to move on. Why are you staying there? Because it's comfortable. And that's what Saul said. Don't worry about it. Come with me and let's just worship God together. Doesn't matter that I haven't followed instruction. That is relevant. Just come with me. Let's worship together. And how many times in our lives that we find ourselves in a place where we just come together and say, ignore everything else. I'm going to keep living my life the way I want to live my life. I want to get together with you every day for prayer. Your authority in the Lord depends on what you kill and what you don't kill. So in the midst of everything else, there is hope when we say, yes, Lord. There is hope when I say, yes, Lord. Because when we say, yes, Lord, we say, yes, Lord. And then we say, yes, Lord. We hold on to nothing because we're holding on to Him. And I wonder how many of us this morning, you are frustrated enough. You've had enough. You want to say yes, Lord, and participate in the biggest game of your life. Because you say yes, Lord. And you say yes, Lord. And then you say yes, Lord. Because you're holding on to nothing. Because you're holding. season is coming. And the time has come where I'm believing God that because we're saying yes, Lord, this morning, and we're saying yes and saying yes, that when we call our next work bee, if you don't show up on time, there'll be nothing left for you to do. A season is coming, and a season is upon us right now. Our children are our future. That is a generation that you are called to invest in and invest in deeply and care about deeply. And that when they ask for Sunday school helpers, there won't be enough room for all you guys to go and serve downstairs. A time has come where you will no longer sit and wait to be served in, where you will come in the big, you come in the biggest game of your life, ready to play and ready to win. A time has come. Where his anointing without measure has come. His favor without measure is coming upon you. Rachel, Joseph is coming. Rebecca, babies are coming. Mary, Jesus is coming. The blessing is here and is here now. Because you're holding on to nothing this morning. Because you're holding on to God. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to say yes to the Holy Spirit. To say yes to join the biggest game that you've ever been a part of. If you watch basketball or you watch hockey or you watch soccer, whatever it is you watch, this is the biggest game of your life. And this game, you don't get to play on the sidelines. And this game, you don't get to play on the bench. That God is requiring all of you for only Him. Because you said yes. Because you said yes. Because you said yes. Because you said yes. And because you said yes. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the city of Aldergrove, and I say, devil, get your hands off our city right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every prison in the Fraser Valley, and I say that our children are coming out, and our daughters and our sons, they are coming out of the prison system, and are coming to say yes, a resounding yes, because they say yes, and because they say yes, and because they say yes, they're holding on to nothing, because they're holding on to Him. I speak over our children right now, our young adults right now. It's time to arise from your complacency. It's time to arise from your slumber. Right now, we need you. Our church needs you. Our city needs you. Arise right now and become what God has called you to be. Because you're saying yes. Because you're saying yes. And because you're saying yes. In the name of Jesus. Papas and the mamas in this house, we need you more than ever. This church needs you. Our children needs you. We need all hands on deck. We need you here. Our grandparents, the grandparents of this house, we need your tenacity and we need your wisdom. Where God is taking us, we move as family. We go together. We link arms together. This is our city. We don't rent this place. We have dominion in our city.